Yes, I'm Tim Elliott from Texas A&M University at College Station, and I'm going to speak to you briefly about our project using technology to improve rural residents' access to mental health care services. It's a nice follow-up and segue from the presentation you just heard from my colleague, Dr. Ramirez. You've heard in that talk an overview of the Brazos Valley. That is, in fact, where we are operating. And as you understood, it's a seven-county region, and in particular, the county that we reside in, College Station Bryan, is probably the one suburban county surrounded by six rural counties, demographics of which you've had a good representation of in the previous talk. Most of the resources do reside in the suburban county of Brazos, where we reside. In an assessment that was conducted by the Center for Community Health Development out of the School of Rural Public Health, it was found from the respondents that over 20% reported problems that could be considered diagnosable levels of depression. Over 50% of the adults reported concerns about mental health generally, and this included things that were obvious concerns with anxiety, loneliness, other things related to health and behavioral health related issues, so things like alcohol abuse or domestic problems, things in which they had little recourse or access for services in their areas. The Brazos Valley Health Partnership was formed in part with resources from the CCHD to have community input and ongoing surveillance and shared commonalities and agendas routinely discussed, and then aims and goals for meeting the healthcare needs of the Valley. And from this particular partnership that included representatives from the counties as well as other state agencies that were operating in the counties, for example, Mental Health, Mental Retardation Authority of Brazos Valley, working as representation of the state agency, and also representatives from a major health care provider in the area, St. Joseph's. Several things were discussed which should be targeted to increase their infrastructure so they could provide access and provide particularly mental health services, which were identified as a major need for residents of the Valley. As you see here in the middle of the slide, the Texas A&M Counseling Psychology Program was also brought in as a partner. I represent the Counseling Psychology Program. I'm the Director of Training and a licensed psychologist. In our Counseling Psychology Training Program, it's approved by the American Psychological Association. We operate a mental health clinic that's associated with a primary care clinic, also working with the Texas A&M Health Science Center, and it operates as a provider in a health professional shortage provider area. So from that counseling and assessment clinic, we began to brainstorm ways in which we could offer long-distance mental health services into the Valley and to work with a particular partner in the Valley. That particular partner is located in Centerville, Texas, in Leon County, which is roughly northeast of where we live in College Station. It is a rural county located, I suppose you could say, halfway between Houston and Dallas off the on Interstate 45. The strategic plan was in place as we came in as a partner because there was already a movement underway to develop a health care, primary care facility there in the county that would be part of this larger partnership. And from that, we would be able to operate and provide mental health services via telehealth applications. This was primarily achieved with a collaborative grant that was submitted by Leon County to HRSA and then funded, and we've received the funds, and we've been working then in partnership with Leon County. The general goal is to provide a variety of specialty care services in the area. What we are doing in terms of working with mental health services, I'll delineate in a bit more detail as we go along here. It's not unusual to provide telehealth services. What we have found and what we're doing is that for our area, there were several lines already in place, but some had been underused, some of them had not been used at all, and we had to spend some time in working and developing what we were going to be able to place in the Leon County facility and what we could use at the CAC, that's the Counseling and Assessment Clinic. Several of us have also already conducted randomized clinical trials and have a good understanding of the effectiveness of telephone-based counseling. It is interesting when you look at mental health care providers and consumers of mental health services, the doctoral level providers are the ones who prefer face-to-face counseling and mental health service delivery. But when you compare the effectiveness and consumer ratings of satisfaction with video conferencing as one form of telehealth or telephone counseling, for most mental health problems, both telephone counseling and video conferencing counseling are just as effective, and consumers prefer them over face-to-face visits, which is a very interesting situation when providers are often more comfortable and prefer the face-to-face, but in fact telehealth can be very effective and preferred by the consumer. Obviously there are cases, as which we'll describe, in which they're too severe and they require other more emergent or urgent attention. But for most applications for mental health services, telehealth applications are quite suitable. The other issue that comes into play is how are these best provided? The model generally, as it's set up right now, is for all partners to address the self-interest of all those players and look for areas of commonality, of shared agenda, that can meet the needs of each and every player and stakeholder in the partnership. That includes the Leon County Healthcare Access Center. It also includes the Center for Counseling and Assessment Services. So we often at the CAC have contracts to provide services into the community, again, as a designated provider, and we understand and we want the Leon County Center to have sustainability. Although at this point we are working off a service delivery model, the intention is, with close record keeping, that eventually we will all be at a place where the Leon County Center has a good idea of the kind of flow and demand for services that they can have and they can expect and then work from on a contractual basis with a center like ours that can work on contracts rather than a fee-for-service model. The other thing that makes this work and is unique to our program is that we are embracing our training mission. As an educational institution, as a doctoral training program accredited, our students have to have hundreds of hours in contact hours before they can even go on to an approved internship and then a postdoctoral experience before they move to their state of residence and apply for their licensure. In that model, we provide supervision as faculty and doctoral level providers to students who are accepted into our highly competitive doctoral program, and then they take classes in a supervised practica mental health experience. We are one of the few now counseling psychology programs that can provide a supervised practicum experience in a telehealth application that involves both video conferencing and telephone counseling. It's roughly 2 hours of supervision per week, and students can operate either as enrolling in the practicum experience, or the two students that we have currently on assistantship that are funded to staff the office, if you will, 2 days a week, both for walk-in and scheduled appointments from the Leon County Clinic. The other thing I would add about that is the issue that I'll discuss in greater detail with respect to insurance and how that applies when you're a training facility. The other issue for the Leon County facility is transportation. It's a very rural county. The people who live there often have transportation difficulties. So on one hand, we are circumventing many of the transportation difficulties they would have in being brought to the Bryan. This clinic we operate is in Bryan, Texas, our partner city, I suppose, part of the Twin Cities of Bryan College Station. Rather than being transported to Bryan, they still, in some cases, need to be transported to the clinic there in Centerville from some outlying area, and that's being accomplished through part of the partnership that provides transportation and bus services. Our advisory group meets regularly with respect to this. In fact, we met just earlier this week so that we have ongoing surveillance and feedback regarding the problems and experiences that we have had. We are also thinking about now, based on our experiences, the opportunity to offer it into other counties. So there are already connections that exist in nearby counties and certain clinics, but we have yet to move it out, in part because we are moving slow and want to carefully develop what we have right now in Centerville and iron out all the bugs that we experienced there before we move on to other clinics. The changes that we have experienced doing telehealth-based services, I'm going to discuss a bit on the next slide, because when you develop protocols and deal with these issues, several things come into play. And what we have learned the hard way, I want to particularly bring in point two here, because of all the things I could discuss, this is probably the most important. If you are at all considering this kind of model and want to provide these kinds of services, one of the glories of this approach is working with a partnership where we have a shared agenda. One of the huge downsides of that is finding the one service or the one person who assumes any and all responsibility for information technology. You better have your own IT person. We have multiple lines. Some of those lines, as I mentioned, have been underused. Some of them are out there, but they go through Dallas. And particularly when you have to be HIPAA compliant, add VPN, we had wonderful refresh rate, if you're familiar with the terminology, that was almost television quality. But once we went with a local cable provider to meet HIPAA expectations for VPN, it froze into still Polaroids, which was and has been very disappointing. We're now working with another provider, so we've got a refresh rate back up, and we do have television, we'll be having television quality picture now in our work. Competing priorities is less of a concern only with respect to the sorts of things that pop up along the way, namely record keeping. You have to take very good care to make sure, in our particular case, that the Leon County facility is meeting its needs and good record keeping for what it sees. On our end, we essentially are operating as an extension of the CAC. So we have to have our consent forms, our forms filled out there, and a usable protocol that can be applied. And we do have students and faculty who can provide services across a variety of concerns in the lifespan, from childhood to old age, and we offer bilingual services, and our protocols are written up as such. In this, as you can see, we have several benefits that have improved our collaboration. It's certainly improved the status of Texas A&M into the community, and Leon County now is offering and able to offer mental health services to individuals regardless of income that come to the health center there in Centerville. I need to stop now so we can entertain questions. So I'll step away. Thank you.
Thank you.
I will.
Now we'll open up the audience for Q&A for our panel members. Okay. Yes.
I'm interested in Southwest Virginia. Mentioned about creating the federal board was able to issue bonds to pay for services. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that common practice?
No, actually, that's the only one in the nation. It is. In Southwest Virginia, people tend to be very creative and resilient. So at the time this went about, the University of Virginia and all the state medical schools were trying to get out from under some of the state rules and become charter schools so that they could do procurement on the side. So basically what happened, and the reason I'm not recording this, is that the representatives in that area had a lot of control on getting certain things passed. One of them was the head of the finance committee. And so they very wisely had some very good negotiations that they would support certain bills, but what they would like to do is to have an unfunded health facilities board that if in years to come they could get funded, those funds could be used for Southwest Virginia without having to go and take the money from other areas of the state. And particularly with the coal mines coming back, or trying to come back there, it offered an interesting, very unique opportunity. So that was a good catch.
Thank you.
Do you have any other questions for our panel? I know you all talked about working in the communities and gaining, I guess, trust or community readiness. If you could touch on that just a little bit more about how did you get those partnerships established and, you know, how did you, or how were you able to get the data from working with communities?
Thank you. I think that's the biggest challenge in developing partnership. Basically, what we followed, we started from the beginning. When we develop a need assessment for the community, we involve the community members with our assessment team. So along with community, we identified what are the health concerns and how to prioritize those and what type of approach would be. And as I mentioned in my presentation, that after need assessment, we sort of listed the health problem, like cardiovascular disease, diabetes, HIV, AIDS, obesity, for example, different type of health factors, and ranked those depending on the priority of addressing those issues by the community members. And then we started developing research project. And as I was mentioning, after certain type of research, the community members raise those issues. What is in for us in research? And that's why we converted, or I would say diverted our approach from epidemiological type of research to intervention, like childhood obesity prevention, for example. And in that childhood obesity prevention, we included community members, particularly the schools, school district, school boards, and teachers, some community members, or also in the hypertension study, we included, we call community health advisors. And most of the data collection was done along with community health advisors. And that's how the partnership developed. So I would say, starting from the beginning of your research idea, conceptualization of research idea, implementation of the research, if you can include community members, then partnership would be stronger. And we can see that. Like every time now, we are working on a dental health grant, and whenever we're approaching to our community, same community, their response is very high, and they're much more enthusiastic to partner with us. Thank you.
Any other questions from our audience? Well, we'd like to thank you all for participating in today's session and also thank our panel.
And thank you, Hart, for moderating that.
Thank you.